is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at topics related to COVID-19 as we work our way through this pandemic situation. And County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again.
Well, thank you for having me.
I guess one of the first things I want to take a look at is the statewide vaccination rate. Now, the state is approaching the 70% level. A couple of weeks ago, the Oregon Health Authority and the governor's office were forecasting that we would have hit it yesterday or today. But it seems like the amount of people getting vaccinated has declined, or the pace of vaccination has slowed quite a bit in the past couple of weeks.
Yes, it has indeed. So while we were previously doing over 20,000 a day, then went down to about 10,000. Now we're about 6,000 a day. So the pace of vaccination is really slowing.
And any idea why that is?
Well, I think pretty much people who wanted to get the vaccine have gotten it. There are some people who just don't want it, and they're hard to convince.
And let's talk about that a bit more. What are some of the reasons that you've heard in recent days from people who are not wanting to get a COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, we hear a variety of things. One of the things that we've heard a lot in the last week is about failure of fertility. And the good news is there's no data to suggest that. In fact, the data suggests that people who get vaccinated have just the same fertility as others. There was a study today about sperm counts, and the sperm counts are unaffected by the vaccine. We're also hearing people saying, well, I don't think the vaccine is safe enough, and yet there's not much to suggest that the vaccine is not very safe and very effective.
Now, as we go through this, and you get the chance to talk to people, are you able to win any over and change their mind?
Right, I am. There are some people who are a bit hesitant, and they have a specific question that we can answer. And so we have been able to convince some. And we did bring up our local vaccination rate up about 0.5% in the last week. So we are making some progress.
Now, one of the factors on the 70% level for the state overall is the governor's office has said once the state gets to that, that's going to be a shift in what have been all these different protocols that have come from state government and the impact that will have on things. And so at this point, a lot of people would like to see the number. They'd like to see the people get to that number. But now it seems like we're in a little bit of a holding pattern.
We are. I think we'll get there probably by the end of the month, but really have to have people go, and if you're wanting to get the vaccine, just find a place and get it.
Now, let's talk about the county mass vaccination event this week. Tell us more about how that's going to work.
So our mass vaccination event this weekend is going to be at the fairgrounds from 9 until 1 o'clock at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. We're going to have both the Pfizer and the J&J vaccine. You don't need to sign up. Just show up sometime between 9 and 1, and one of the great people who are there will get you the vaccine.
What is the average length of time that somebody pulls in? How long are they likely to be there?
About 10 minutes to get through the sign-up process, then usually 15 minutes after they get the vaccine. So total, less than 30 minutes.
And do you still do an observation period, or does that depend?
No, we still do an observation period. For most people, it's 15 minutes. For some people, it's 30 minutes, especially if they've had a history of previous allergic reactions.
Now, I know the Tiger team have got vaccination opportunities around some of the rural areas this week as well.
Yeah, so the Tiger team has been out. They were out this weekend at the Chainsaw Festival in Reedsport. They're going to be at Music on the Half Shell. They're going to be at Reuben Live. They're going to be in some rural areas around the county. So they're trying to catch the little last people who haven't gotten it yet.
I'm just looking at the new data that came out in the past few minutes from the COVID-19 response team. Looks like 11 cases on Saturday with 2 new presumptive test results, 3 on Sunday, and today 8. So looks like we are starting to see, at least at this moment, a bit of a decline in the number of local cases.
And that's a good thing. So we are seeing a little bit of a dip. Last week, we had an increase. We had a an outbreak at a residential care facility and one of the local businesses. And those both appear to be quieting, so we think the numbers are going to be going down.
But we, at the same time, have 15 county residents that are hospitalized for COVID-19 right now. That number seems to, well, of course it fluctuates, but it seems like a little on the high side right now.
Yeah, that number is high. Given the relatively low number of cases, to have 15 people in the hospital is really a lot of people. And when I look, many of them are young. So many of them people are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. So that's way too young to be hospitalized.
Now, is there a reason that's happening more? Is it changes in the virus or the variants? Or because at the front end of things, we weren't seeing people in that 30, 40 age group in the hospital very often.
Yeah, we're not exactly sure the reason. We think the variants clearly play a role. We think the variants are more equal opportunity infectors. So that early on, mostly it was old people that got sick with this. What we're seeing now is that people of all ages seem to get sick when they get this new variant.
And what about on the statewide level? Are we seeing a decline or how's it going?
So the state had a peak in March and April, came down. We're kind of stuck at the 200 or so cases a day in the state, which is still way too high. It's still about 5 cases per 100,000 per day. We'd really like to bring that down to about 1 case per 100,000 a day.
And that number, though, is lower than we saw a week or so ago. And it seemed like about a week, 10 days ago, we were seeing maybe the impacts of the Memorial Day travel weekend.
And we do think that Memorial Day certainly did have an impact. But I think at this point, there's still just a lot of gathering this past weekend for Father's Day. And with such beautiful weather and so many great things to do, people are going to be out.
Talk about, as you look at the number of folks vaccinated around Oregon, maybe a correlation between counties where more people are vaccinated and their number of cases going down.
Well, we certainly are seeing that the counties that have a high vaccination rate, Lincoln County, Hood River County, and Multnomah County, really do seem to be having the lowest number of cases.
Now, what about the national picture right now as things are starting to open up more in some states than others? What are we seeing in terms of case rates around America?
Well, overall, the case rates in the United States are coming down. We're now down to about 4 cases per 100,000 per day. There are no real hotspots in the country, although the middle of the country, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, are having a fair number of cases. But in general, this has been a quiet time. Thank goodness.
What about the world picture? I mean, a couple weeks ago, we heard a lot about India. How are they doing? What are some of the other countries that have particular struggles right now?
Well, India is still struggling, though it does seem to be getting a little bit better in India. South America is just struggling terribly with lots of disease and lots of deaths and lots of disruption. So South America really has a problem. Two other areas of interest are going to, one is Southern Africa. Southern Africa has not had much disease until now, but we are concerned that it's now starting to spread to Namibia and other countries, and a big spread in Africa would be really, really tragic. That's an area where very few people have been vaccinated, where very few people have disease, so there's not much natural immunity, and they have a really shaky healthcare system. The other place that we're looking at is the UK. And the UK is especially interesting because in each of the last 4 spikes, they predated the U.S. by 3 to 6 weeks. So they had a spike in 3 to 6 weeks. We had a spike. And now they're going through their fourth or fifth spike, better one to call it, over the last 2 weeks, where they've had a marked increase in cases and over 200% increase in cases. And this is in a country where 80% of the people have had a dose. So it's a highly vaccinated group, and yet they're starting to see this rise. Again, in the UK, it's likely due to the Delta variant, which is the variant that was first seen in India.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Ion Travel at 4. And tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, it'll be Sutherland School District Superintendent Terry Prestiani looking back at the outgoing school year, what's available in the Sutherland District over the summer, and how things are shaping up for this fall in the Sutherland School District. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us, our weekly in-depth look at issues around COVID-19. Wanted to spend some time in this segment talking about the variants. Now, you've explained them before, what a variant is and all of that, but is one of the variants becoming more dominant everywhere, or does it vary with where you're at?
It certainly varies by geography, but you'll remember the UK has been a good harbinger of what's going to happen here. They started off with mostly ancestral strains until about January of this year, where the Alpha variant or the B.1.1.7 started to take hold. Within 3 months, almost all the cases were the B.1.1.7 variant. Now, the 617 or the Delta variant is taking over, and almost all the cases now are the Delta variant. So within the space of just 3 months, we've been now through three different brands of the virus, and each one a little more contagious than the one before it.
Now, when doctors are looking at someone who has got COVID-19, how do you determine that one of the variants is part of this?
So the variants are all picked up by the routine testing we do. So when we do the testing, especially a PCR test, if the person's been previously vaccinated or if it's a high-risk outbreak, we ask the state to do variant analysis. The problem is it takes about 2 weeks to get those results. And so it doesn't really help the person who's sick at that time, but it helps us to go back to see whether that transmission was unusual.
Now, are the variants still less of an issue for people that are vaccinated?
Yes, the vaccine seems to work against all of the known variants, so the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and Delta. The vaccine works not as well necessarily against the ancestral strains, but still works pretty well. The Delta is the one that we worry the most about. A recent study came out suggests has about 33% effectiveness after the first dose and about 80% effectiveness after the second dose, which is down a little bit from the ancestral strains, for which the vaccine prevents against 80% with a single dose and 95% with two doses. So it's down, but the vaccine is still pretty protective.
What about new things that have been learned about this virus in recent days?
Well, we're always learning more. I talked a little bit about the sperm count that we've seen, the sperm counts, and that doesn't seem to be an issue. Now, one of the things we do see with the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, especially in young men, is that after they get the second dose, they can have a little bit of heart inflammation called myocarditis, and they have about 300 cases of this. It does not appear to be very serious, most of the times treated with just some ibuprofen, but nonetheless, we never want to see inflammation of the heart. So I think this week we're going to really be looking at those cases of myocarditis and may come up with new recommendations for teens.
How much study is going into the virus? I mean, the CDC, obviously, but is it being studied at a lot of different places?
In every place in the world, this is their number one research agenda. And we're working we're working on the virus, we're working on treatments, we're working on new vaccines. So there's really a tremendous amount of work going on with this virus.
Now, in your time in public health over these decades, is this the most unique situation you've seen?
This is. This is the most unique because it affects the most people, and it's a new disease. Now, we work on other things, too. So, for example, one of the things we're really working on is syphilis. Syphilis, which has been around for many, many years, hasn't changed very much. But syphilis is one of the things we're really working on now because we know that during the pandemic, sex continued to happen and people didn't necessarily get tested. So we're worried about missed cases of sexually transmitted infections.
And what about the research? One of the things with all these different agencies, do they talk to each other? I mean, if Oregon Health Authority finds out something or a researcher at OHSU, are there platforms where that information gets out there and can be shared amongst those in public health?
Yes, Oregon has done a very good job of sharing. We have two or three meetings a week every week with the top people at OHA, and we share information on a very regular basis.
And is that happening on the national level as well?
Well, the CDC and the states get together. It's not as good, I think, as it is in Oregon, though.
As you have gone through this time, I remember going way back, you said that because this was appeared to be a very unusual situation, things would continue to shift and, it would just be unlike anything we'd probably ever gone through.
Yeah, I think for those of us who are less than 102, this pandemic really has been the pandemic of a century. So it really is very, very different. I mean, think of the number of deaths. Think in this country, we've had 600,000 deaths. That's as many deaths as in the wars in this century.
And as we get into the summertime, more outdoor events starting to happen, what's your thoughts about people's level of caution, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated, if they go out to some of these events?
Well, I think if you're outdoors, I think that is an incredibly safe thing to do. We see very, 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 very little transmission outdoors. So I think outdoors is great. I think if you're vaccinated and you're outdoors, it's even safer. So again, we're really trying to push outdoor activities. And with such beautiful weather as we have here and so many great outdoor events, that's what we're looking for.
Let's spend the last couple of minutes talking about the role of the Douglas Public Health Network. Obviously, as this has evolved, your level of staffing and some of the work going on has really changed in the last 15 months.
Yeah, we started with just 6 here at Douglas Public Health Network. But since then, we really have really have beefed up our staff. Almost all local people have gone to a high in the mid-30s. And those are the people who very wonderfully go and investigate these cases, help the contact tracers, and then deliver supplies that people need them. So just yesterday, we were delivering eggs and hamburger to somebody who was in quarantine and needed some groceries.
And talking to other people I know around the country, it seems clear that that level of support doesn't happen a lot of places.
It really doesn't. You know, we have been absolutely blessed with the support that we've gotten from the community and from the commissioners. So we have been able to do that, all with local people who are going out, seeing people and helping people.
And as you have continued to go through this, what do you think lies ahead? I mean, in terms of, I don't even want to know what, or I don't want to guess at what the right term is, but it feels like we're sort of coming out of this, cases are coming down, but do you worry about the next few months?
Well, we do. What we worry about is, again, there are two things that worry me. One is we should be having low cases because of the time of the year it is, right? It's springtime when cases usually plummet. The other thing that worries me is that the UK has predicted pretty accurately when we're about to see a spike, and they're seeing a spike, and it wouldn't be surprising in 3 to 6 weeks that we would see a spike, especially due to the Delta variant.
All right, and if people want to find out more information from DPHN and all the efforts locally, where do you send them?
So if people want to hear, they can put questions in at Facebook questions at DouglasPublicHealthNetwork.org, and we'll get to them tomorrow night at 6.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.